Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
After a day off in the schedule for the big league Cardinals, we take a look at some of the team's top prospects in the minor leagues and how they've been faring so far this season. Coming up on B-Shape Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shape Daily. Brendan Schaefer here with you. It is the late evening hours of Thursday, April 25th, 2024. Off day for the St. Louis Cardinals as they travel to New York. They'll take on the Mets on Friday night. So for today's B-Shape Daily, we decided we're going to take a look into the minor league organization for the St. Louis Cardinals and have a peek at the top prospects and how some of them might be faring to begin the season. I'm here on MLB.com, which lists the Cardinals' top 30 prospects in the organization, and we're just going to run through them and give y'all an update on how some of them are faring and what we expect in terms of anything notable from some of the big names that pop up on this list. Can't say that I'm altogether familiar with everybody on this list, but I'll learn a little bit about each of them as we kind of dive through some of the numbers for some of these players and give you guys the update. So we'll start at number 30. We will work our way to number 1. It'll be interesting to see what MLB.com has for the Cardinals' top 30 prospects. I believe this would have been as of the beginning of the season, so probably not updated based on whatever's happened so far this season, but we want to give you guys an idea of what could be coming down the pike. And I will say, as far as the Cardinals' prospect grouping is concerned, there are some exciting names, but it's been a bit of a mixed bag in terms of the records throughout the minor leagues for the St. Louis Cardinals. Palm Beach Cardinals in the Florida State League are 12-6, so they have a pretty good record to begin the season. But at Peoria, the high A level, the Cardinals are 7-11 with their affiliates, so four games below 500. Springfield Cardinals have been fantastic, 14-3. We'll talk about some of their players here coming up in just a minute. And then in Memphis, as it pertains to the International League, the Cardinals affiliate in AAA is 10-13 on a three-game losing streak as of this recording. So falling on a little bit of hard times for the AAA Redbirds. So a little bit of a mixed bag, as I mentioned. But let's go ahead and get into some of the players that are of note. Again, this is according to MLB.com, so we will defer to their expertise on this one. I know there are a lot of different places you could find prospect rankings, but we're just going to look at this one because it is pretty accessible and easy to find. William Sullivan checking in at number 30. He is a first base prospect, 13th round pick in the 2023 MLB draft. Interesting that he finds himself on this list. He's 23 years old, but is playing at High A Peoria and has to date posted a 150 batting average and 48 plate appearances with a 567 OPS. So William Sullivan with an ETA for the major leagues listed as 2026. Well, he's off to a slow start. Here's a name, though, that you probably would have heard by now if you followed the Cardinals prospect groupings for long. Joshua Baez, a outfield prospect in the Cardinals organization who checks in at number 29 on this list. He's only 20 years old, but he's been around the block a little while for the Cardinals. Was acquired by the organization back in 2021 in the second round of that MLB draft. And the Cardinals have brought him along rather slowly. And the numbers have sort of matched the decision-making process on that. As Baez, at 21 years old at High A, has a 660 OPS hitting 237 Only one home run in 44 plate appearances so far this year. So that's another guy who, you just look at the raw numbers from this year, 18 strikeouts in 38 at-bats over 44 plate appearances. High K numbers, has not been able to balance that out to this point with the power production, which is what you're looking for a lot of times for some of the guys at the lower levels. So as far as high A is concerned, still pretty young relative to the level, even though he's been in the organization for a number of years. Cardinals drafted him out of high school, but haven't gotten the production that they would be looking for from him in order to think about advancing him across the levels to this point. Number 28 on the top prospect list per MLB.com is Drew Rahm. And as we know, he has been on the injured list. It does not sound like he is rounding the corner anytime soon. The last update I recall hearing from the Cardinals and Ollie Marmol on him was that he did some plyometrics, I was told by another reporter. I was not around for when this message was passed along, but he was working on trying to do some rehab, and it did not go well, evidently. So Drew Rahm, who I believe is going to see Dr. Keith Meister this week, which is not typically a good sign, could mean a surgical intervention for Drew Rahm. But remember, he started a handful of games for the Cardinals last season as the Cardinals were sort of just trying to fill out innings at the end of 2023. And as this season developed in spring, ended up with an injury and was not too prominently featured in the mix for those contending for a starting opportunity in St. Louis. We know the Cardinals went out and signed the starters they wanted to be in this rotation to begin the season, and Drew Rahm just probably wouldn't have factored into that, even if he were healthy. Unfortunately for him, he is not at present, and so we await more news on what will come for his near and distant future at number 28 on the Cardinals' top prospect list per MLB.com. Number 27 here on this list is Andre Granillo, a right-handed pitcher who is currently with Double-A Springfield and has some pretty good numbers. The first guy on our list here that we're reading off to have a decent start to the season. 8 2/3 innings, has one save to his credit, a 3.12 ERA with a 2.42 opposing batting average, 11 strikeouts in the 8 2/3 innings. Probably more base runners than you'd like to see. The whip is elevated as Granillo has walked 6 batters and given up 8 hits across 8 2/3 innings, but he's been able to clearly strain some of those runners for a 3.12 ERA. He was a guy that the Cardinals gave a look to back in Jupiter down in spring training before the season, down in the Grapefruit League slate. Wanted to see what it looked like. Didn't quite make enough of an impression to be elevated this early at this stage of his career, but getting an opportunity now with Springfield here in 2024. It's interesting. He pitched in Springfield last season, had some solid numbers, 4.42 ERA, but nothing that would suggest maybe the promotion to Memphis. He got one anyway and pitched to a 6.08 ERA in limited duty there in AAA. So back down to AA, looking a little bit stronger in terms of the ERA, but the underlying numbers with the number of base runners that he has allowed could be an issue for Granillo. But the raw material is interesting. 11 strikeouts again in those 8 2/3 innings. So we'll keep an eye on Granillo as to whether he can trim the walks, allow fewer base runners, and continue to strike batters out. That's something that could catch the eye of the big league coaching staff and of course, the front office within the organization as decisions are made for, you know, who could potentially help this team out of the bullpen down the road. Andre Granillo, an interesting candidate for that. Pete Hansen is number 26 on this list. He is a left-handed pitcher right now with the high A Peoria Chiefs, has only pitched 3 games as a starter for Peoria this year, 13 2/3 innings. 7.24 is the ERA. We're seeing a number of guys who are sort of struggling on the pitching side down at the bottom of this list. And Pete Hansen is one of those guys, allowing a 3.83 opposing batting average. Good to see the stuff. You are always looking at the K numbers at this level. Pete Hansen with 15 strikeouts in 13 2/3 innings, but certainly going to look to get those ERA numbers and the opposing batting average near 400. He's been knocked around a little bit, but again, we're doing this update very, very early in the season. Only 3 starts so far for Pete Hansen. Brunelli Franco is the next guy on the list, and he's actually somebody who we don't really have any statistics for at this point because he is so young. He is down with the, I believe he's listed with the Dominican Summer League squad, the DSL Cardinals. He is a right-handed pitcher, trying to catch the age on Brunelli Franco. And it's certainly doing a video like this that can make you feel old. He's 17 years old. The right-handed pitching prospect for the Cardinals was signed as an international signing. I believe this was during the last signing period in January. reading a story here from Daniel Guerrero of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who mentions that his fastball ranges in the low 90s, can touch 94 miles per hour. That's according to Baseball America's scouting report of Franco. But I find that in the DG article with the Post-Dispatch. Listed at 6'3", 209 pounds, a right-handed pitcher. So just 17 years old at the Dominican Academy, I would assume at this point, just 17. But making waves, at least as far as making this Cardinals prospect list of the top 30 prospects within the organization. Again, he ranks 25th overall in the Cardinals organization. And then there is an MLB international, top international prospects list as well. And that includes folks from all organizations. He also ranks 25th in baseball among international prospects at this point in time. ETA 2029, so still a guy that is a ways off, but sometimes those guys are signed at very young teenage ages and end up panning out for the organizations that sign them. We've seen that a number of times throughout Major League Baseball. So a name to know, Mr. Franco, could be a ways away, but certainly the raw materials are interesting. No stats for him, though, at this point, because he's not playing with any of the affiliated teams that we know and love here stateside. Number 24 on the list is a name you do know. It's Ryan Fernandez, Cardinals reliever, evidently made the top prospects list for the Cardinals, given that I was not a big leaguer before this season. And Ryan Fernandez is really impressed. He's got an ERA right now sitting at 3.00, and it's been interesting to see sort of the way that he has evolved within his role already within the young season for the St. Louis Cardinals. He's a guy that pitched a little bit in AA and AAA last year, got more opportunity in AAA in 2023 with the Boston Red Sox organization, had a 6 ERA, though, in AAA in 30.2 innings. Well, now he's come to St. Louis, and so far so good. 9 innings, has been able to hold his own, giving up 3 earned runs with a 3 ERA, and he struck out 12. So the raw materials, that's why we talk about the strikeout numbers, the swing and miss, Ryan Fernandez, the Rule 5 pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, has been so far so good. He's down the totem pole in the St. Louis bullpen, but certainly a guy that Ollie Marmol, I think, is finding more and more trust in with each opportunity that he gives him, and he comes through, ends up being kind of an interesting name as the season goes along here in St. Louis. The first guy that we named that's currently on the active roster, Ryan Fernandez, number 24 on the Cardinals' top prospect list, according to MLB Pipeline. Number 23.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
On the list is another pitcher, Edwin Nunez, who is currently with AA Springfield and has some elevated numbers there, a 7.5 ERA across 8 1/3 innings, just 3 appearances as a pitcher. He is a starter down there, but has not been able to navigate too deep into his outings just yet. But this is his first taste of AA baseball, as in 2023, he was down at low A and high A, split the season between those two levels, and did so as a relief pitcher. In terms of the way that he was used, 41 appearances, but 0 starts. And they've been using him a little bit as a starter so far this season in Springfield. Not a lot of success so far for Mr. Nunez, but it is still early for him. The strikeout numbers, 5 Ks in 8 1/3 innings. Edwin Nunez, ETA 2025. So that might seem a little bit optimistic per MLB.com. With the way things are going right now for Edwin Nunez, he is 22 years old out of the Dominican Republic and is in the Cardinal organization, I believe was picked up as a international signing a number of years ago, has been in the org since 2021. That was his first professional season anyway with Palm Beach. So that's the story there on Edwin Nunez. Again, another guy who Just 22 years old, but we're seeing him only in the lower levels of the organization at this point. Has elevated to Springfield at AA. In the early going there, has not had a lot of success just yet. Number 22 on our top prospect list, Zach Levinson. We get a outfielder into the mix here who's had a pretty good start to the season. Now, it's always interesting when you see a guy that is at still the lower levels of the organization, and then the first thing I tend to do is look at his age and say, okay, how does his age stack up compared to the level at which he is performing? Levinson is a 22-year-old outfielder, and right now a little bit behind the curve because he is at High A Peoria, but a lot of times you do see this with guys who were drafted out of the collegiate ranks, which is the case for Levinson, who was a fifth-round pick last year in the 2023 draft. So you want to get these guys a taste in the lower levels, and the idea would be they can thrive relative to their age and could progress quickly. I would not be surprised to see Levinson make his way to AA Springfield at some time later this season, off to a pretty good start, as it were, with High A Peoria in 2024. Spent last year, after being drafted in the middle of the season, at Low A Palm Beach, had an 811 OPS. He's listed here on Baseball Reference with an 857 OPS and a 300 batting average, but when I click it on MLB Pipeline, it lists him only with a 798 OPS, so perhaps had just, again, pretty early in the season, so I would think that maybe one Ofer type of day since those stats have been updated on Baseball Reference would get you there. But that's a guy at 22 years old, pretty solid numbers. In the lower levels, would like to see him get to Springfield as soon as possible, and then maybe you can learn a little bit more about what he might be in terms of the future. Zach Levinson, solid numbers at High A right now, but you're going to have to see him get to Springfield before you can really start to make any determinations about what he is going to be at the higher levels. Moving along on the list here now, I believe we're at number 21 on this list, and this is an actual interesting name. We've kind of had a few names that maybe folks aren't too familiar with, but Quinn Matthews is one who, A, has been off to a very electric start to his professional career with the Cardinals so far, and you may remember him. It was a guy that was drafted last summer by the Cardinals in, the fourth round? I was thinking it was the third round. It was the fourth round last year. He's 23 years old, going to turn 24 in October. Left-handed pitcher, big guy, 6'5", 188 pounds. You may remember him from last collegiate season in the College World Series, I believe it was. He threw 156 pitches in a game. Complete game, 156 pitches for Stanford, which was like, wow, it's surprising a college coach would even let a guy do that, but didn't seem to hinder his draft stock necessarily. It might have even put him on the map. And for the Cardinals, they said, okay, this is a guy who threw 124 innings in his final season with Stanford. We're not going to have him pitch in affiliated baseball the rest of 2023. They had him take the rest of the season off from at least the official competition. But then he starts at Low A Palm Beach, and I think the promotion could come very soon for Quinn Matthews. Listen to these numbers. Three starts, 12 innings total, 25 strikeouts for Quinn Matthews with a 0.75 ERA. Now, a little bit wild with 9 walks in those 12 innings. That's certainly a higher rate than you want to see. But the raw materials are there for Quinn Matthews to take that next step. We should see him at High A before you know it. Quinn Matthews could be an exciting name to remember for the future. Right now, he's sitting at number 21 on MLB Pipeline's list, and I would venture that based on that early performance in Palm Beach, I should say, Quinn Matthews, if they were to re-rank this list right now, would be much higher than 21, showing the raw materials. Bryson Motz is ahead of him on the list, another guy down at in the low levels of the organization. He is actually at High A, but has not fared too well in 12 innings, 7.3 ERA with a 333 opposing batting average. You do like the 15 Ks for Motz in 12 and a third innings pitch, but right now, again, just not a lot of performance to this point. They list him as a 2025 ETA. That might be a bit aggressive with the numbers that he has currently. Guys got to get to Springfield before you can really think about what their future could be and how quickly they could elevate to the big league level. A guy who has done that already is Ian Bedell, and a former Mizzou Tiger, so familiar with him. He is 19th on the MLB Pipeline list of the Cardinals' top prospects. 3.77, the ERA for Ian Bedell. He's a guy who Cardinals drafted back in that 2020 draft, actually, which was truncated. We remember several of the names from that draft, Jordan Walker, Mason Wynn, Tank Hentz. Well, Ian Bedell was in that draft as well, but ended up having, I think it was Tommy John surgery. He missed a good bit of time after a TJ that I think he underwent early in 2021. So for a guy who pitched several years in college and now is just trying to make his way at the professional level, he's 24 years old, so he's a little more experienced. Will turn 25 already in September, but has elevated this year to Double A and seems to be holding his own. If I'm the Cardinals, that would be a guy that I would look to promote aggressively, simply because he on the age curve, you want to kind of see how quickly he can maybe propel and get his career jump started. 17 Ks in 14 and a third innings, a 3.77 ERA thus far in those 14 innings in Double A Springfield. Could be a guy that I'm not sure we'll see him in 2024 necessarily, but if he could find his way to Memphis before the end of the year, I think that would be an appropriate step for Ian Bedell to take. Again, when you have a year that you miss essentially because of a Tommy John as a pitcher, that can be difficult, especially when you are already a multi-year college player and the age just kind of starts to creep up a little bit. Guys sort of get into that 25, 26 range in terms of age, and they enter into really non-prospect territory, especially at the lower levels. If you're in AAA already at that point, that may be a different story. It depends on circumstances. But for Bedell, I certainly think he is a prospect at this point. The Cardinals are just going to have to kind of push him a little bit and see what he's able to come up with between his opportunities at AA so far this year and if he should get an opportunity later on this summer, perhaps in Memphis. The next player on our list is the number 18 prospect in the Cardinal organization per MLB Pipeline, and that is infielder Cesar Prieto, who came over in the Jack Flaherty deal at the trade deadline. He is a 24-year-old infielder, primarily, I believe, a second baseman, but the hit tool is something to take note of. He's got a .278 average so far with Memphis with a .756 OPS and has actually hit for a little bit of power as well. 4 home runs across 79 ABs in 20 games with just 12 strikeouts, so nothing crazy there on the K numbers. Cesar Prieto, I don't think he's ever going to be necessarily a bona fide starter at the big league level, but he's a guy that we could see anytime, honestly, if there should develop a team need in St. Louis, holding his own at Memphis. Not overwhelming numbers. You do like seeing the 4 home runs already this season, but for Prieto, I think it's just a matter of getting him to the big leagues and seeing whether that hit tool is something that could play in St. Louis. Right now, there do seem to be a number of infielders ahead of him in the pecking order, with everybody basically healthy across the infield so far for St. Louis, and recently Jose Fermin showing up after really getting off to a strong start in AAA Memphis. So I'm not sure exactly how Prieto might be able to knock on that door, but as long as he continues to hit in Memphis, he will be somebody under consideration. Maybe a forgotten piece that was involved in the trade deadline dealings for the Cardinals last July, but I think an interesting one. Prieto checks in at number 18 on the MLB Pipeline list of top 30 Cardinals prospects. Number 17 on the list is another trade deadline acquisition that also came over from the Baltimore Orioles at the deadline, and that's Zach Showalter, who has gotten off to a nice start. I think this was a guy who, as we recall, the reason that he was drafted a little bit later on when he came out by the Baltimore Orioles out of Wesley Chapel, Florida, which is there on the Gulf side, the 11th round in the 2022 MLB draft. But he was one of those guys that you typically think, oh, he's not going to sign, so let's not waste our pick. That's what happened with Zach Showalter until the Orioles got a little creative in the 11th round and gave him a pretty sizable signing bonus relative to what you would normally see from an 11th round pick, and they convinced him to sign. He was committed to go play college baseball somewhere, ended up foregoing that opportunity, signing with the Orioles out of the 11th round, despite being a pretty late pick. Again, that's a talent that a lot of people probably would have said, fourth round, fifth round pick, somewhere in that range perhaps. But because of signability concerns, nobody really took the plunge until Baltimore did. And it was at Baltimore, you know, they would say, look, we're going to take the plunge in the 11th round. We're going to offer him well above slot value and see if we can get him to sign. My point in kind of laying all this out is he was not necessarily a guy that was considered league-wide to be an 11th round caliber player. It was more because nobody really thought he would sign, and the Orioles decided to take the risk, and it paid off for them in that they were able to get him to sign, and then after a short period of time pitching in the organization, the Cardinals found him interesting enough to include in the trade. So He pitched so far this season, or has pitched, I should say.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
At low A, Palm Beach, and it hasn't been a ton of opportunity, but so far so good. 7 2/3 innings, has yet to give up an earned run, or a run of any kind, for that matter. 0.00 ERA, and has struck out 10 batters with only 2 walks in the limited sample of 7.2 innings. That's across 4 games, so they're just kind of getting him in his opportunities. Has not been utilized as a starter yet this year, although that has been the case for him in the past when he was with Baltimore. But something interesting to keep an eye there. He had one inning that he pitched last year with Palm Beach before the Cardinals, I think, shut him down. Not sure if there was injury concern or if it's just a young player that you're going to take things slowly with toward the end of a season. So in almost 9 innings at Palm Beach across the last couple of years, has not yet given up a run. Zach Showalter, I think, could be another name that we see rise on this prospect list, but with an ETA, according to Pipeline, of 2026 to reach the big leagues, still a long ways to go in terms of his development, but another name that I think is interesting in terms of the raw materials. Quinn Matthews, Zach Showalter, two of the more interesting pitching prospects that we've talked about so far on this list. And at number 16 is another one in Adam Klopfenstein, another guy that came over during that trade deadline. He was a Toronto Blue Jay that came over in the Jordan Hicks trade back at the trade deadline of 2023 and had some solid numbers down the stretch for Memphis last year with a 3.00 ERA. Following that up, though, so far this year, not as much success with a 5.68 earned run average in 25 innings, only a .231 opposing batting average, so not too incredibly elevated there, although you could see some improvement. 22 strikeouts in the 25 1/3 innings pitched. 13 walks is certainly more than you'd like to see. So a 5.5 ERA essentially for Klopfenstein, probably not putting him too high on the ranks in terms of guys that could get a call up sooner than later if the Cardinals have a pitching need in St. Louis. But that also could pertain to just availability and whose turn it is to start. He's at least in AAA, so in that range of guys that could conceivably be called upon for a spot start if something should happen at the big league level where a need would arise. Number 15, we're halfway through the list now, Pedro Pájez. We know him. We love him. He had some decent numbers with Memphis. Had an illness, I believe, that caused him to miss a number of games, and so he's only played 6 games for Memphis, despite the fact that he's only been in St. Louis for a hot minute a couple of times. But a 917 OPS across 18 at-bats in AAA. Low batting average, but he did have a home run and a couple of RBIs to his credit with AAA. Right now, though, he's in the big leagues and could be a defensive replacement that we see utilized with some frequency if the Cardinals aren't entirely sure what they're going to get from Ivan Herrera in late innings defensively. That's something that we could keep an eye on moving forward as Ollie Marmol decided to use the catching core that way in their last game just to ensure that they, as he put it, if the other team was going to take 90 feet, they were going to have to earn it. And they weren't just going to give away those 90 feet, which has been a bit of a tendency for Herrera, who's allowed, I think, a dozen stolen bases without throwing anybody out, which is one of the lesser marks, if not the worst mark in Major League Baseball to this point. He also had a couple of wild pitches that were charged to Kyle Gibson in the last game the Cardinals played on Wednesday, where I really think either of them, maybe both of them, could have been considered passed balls. So defensively, something to keep an eye on for Ivan Herrera, but Pedro Pájez could be the answer to that in late innings for the days that Herrera starts and the Cardinals have a lead of, say, 1 or 2 runs, as was the case when that swap was made on Wednesday. Moving right along here on the list to number 14 on the Cardinals MLB Top 30 Prospects list, according to Pipeline, Michael McGreevy, former first-round pick of the St. Louis Cardinals, is with AAA Memphis which is a place that he spent a good deal of time last year. Had a 4.49 ERA in 24 Memphis starts last season. The numbers even elevated from there so far in 2024. A 5.54 ERA, 26 innings. McGreevy does not tend to strike very many guys out. Only 14 Ks in 26 innings and an opposing batting average of .312. I don't know what the future is going to bring for Michael McGreevy. I like his tenacity. I like the person that he is and the personality that he brings. But the fact of the matter is, probably needs to be missing more bats. The Cardinals are not necessarily looking to call up another Miles Michaelis to the big leagues, I wouldn't imagine. And McGreevy, in many ways, is a guy who's allowed a ton of hits and has not struck out many. So that's kind of the spot that he's in. ETA of 2024, but the numbers are not such that I think the Cardinals would be looking for him to fill a need at any point in the real near future. But if his numbers turn around, that is something that could conceivably change. Number 13 on the list is Max Ragic, was the Cardinals minor league pitcher of the year in 2023. Had some very, very good numbers between a couple of levels at low A Palm Beach and high A Peoria. Now, though, is kind of coming back down to earth a little bit with the promotion to Springfield to begin this season, a 7.11 ERA, 7.11, but it is only 12 and two-thirds innings. That being said, a little bit elevated, has given up 12 hits, 3 home runs, and 5 walks, so that kind of explains the numbers and where those come from so far for Ragic. The .235 average against is not anything insane, so perhaps just a little bit of the bad BABIP luck and the fact that he's given up 3 home runs doesn't help the ERA there. Does have 11 strikeouts in the 12 and two-thirds innings, but you'd like to see him probably striking out more than a batter per inning at this point if you're going to feel good about him being able to progress to the next level. But Max Ragic, somebody to certainly keep an eye on, according to Pipeline, has an ETA to the big leagues of 2025 and, again, was the minor league pitcher of the year last season in the Cardinal organization. Number 12 on the list might be the most intriguing AAA pitcher at present. It's Sem Roberta, who was another name that came over in the trade deadline dealings by John Mozeliak. He was a Toronto Blue Jay, or within that organization anyway. Out of the Netherlands is Sem Roberta, and it is Roberta, the way you say the man's name. 22 years old, will turn 23 in October. He is interesting and has some very good numbers. A 1.59 ERA so far this year, 22 and two-thirds innings, so a decent enough sample. A sub-200 opposing batting average at .192. And he does have some strikeouts to his credit, 23 Ks in 22 and two-thirds innings. So basically averaging a strikeout per inning so far, which is the same thing that he was able to do in 2023. Struck out 130 batters over 124 innings, and that was combined between AA and AAA. Once the Cardinals traded for him, they immediately brought him to AAA. Had an elevated ERA, but was able to impress with the strikeout numbers. Had 44 Ks in 35 innings with Memphis last year. So that makes 67 strikeouts in about 58 innings so far for Sem Roberta over the past year or so that he has been with the Cardinal organization. Obviously not quite a year yet, but Roberta, I would say, man, if there is a spot start and it fits his day and he's ready to do it, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see him in 2024 because he's performed. And it used to be a hallmark of the Cardinal organization that guys who performed in the lower levels, they earn those opportunities to get the big league call. Maybe Sem Roberta is a guy who will get that call at some point in 2024. Continuing on with the Cardinals top prospect list, we head out of the pitching department as we just listed and talked about three in a row, and we'll head behind the plate to Jimmy Crooks, who is a catcher in the organization, listed by MLB Pipeline with an ETA to the big leagues of 2025. And you can kind of see why with the numbers that he has been able to compile so far in Springfield. Last year was interesting for him. Spent most of the year with Peoria. Got a brief opportunity with Memphis, probably just simply to get that Memphis team late in the season some catching coverage. You obviously got to make sure that those levels of the minors have the backup catchers necessary, and St. Louis continued to borrow from the minors when guys like Ivan Herrera were called up. So that could have been explanatory in that regard. But Springfield is where he has been this year, and he's got a .344 batting average with a .905 OPS. Has had really good on-base numbers, just one home run, but has drawn 5 walks in the opportunities over 9 games that he's had. So very interesting so far from Jimmy Crooks, who has a .905 OPS. I don't claim to know too much about his work behind the plate, but a catcher with an ETA of 2025 Could be interesting for the Cardinals. Also swings it from the left side, which is interesting for a catcher. Jimmy Crooks is number 11 on the MLB Pipeline Top 30 list. Travis Honeyman will kick us off as we count down the top 10. 24-year-old outfield prospect of the Florida Coast League with the Cardinals. Not a ton in the way of statistics, so we'll head on over to the baseball reference page for Travis Honeyman. But that's a name that you've probably heard before because he was drafted with some decent capital, 2023, was picked in the third round by the St. Louis Cardinals out of Boston College, and he has yet to register any official statistics, again, with the rookie ball team of the Florida Coast League. So not a lot to read into yet from Travis Honeyman, but it was just last summer that he was drafted, so obviously still plenty of time for him to make a mark. Was dealing with a shoulder injury during his final collegiate season at Boston College, so that's something that limited him and could be part of the explanation for why the Cardinals are certainly taking it slowly with him at this point. But a third-round pick of last season, plenty of reason to believe that Honeyman could have a bright future in the organization. Wonbin Cho is an interesting name. Left-handed swinging outfielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, a former international signing with the current ETA for MLB Pipeline of 2026 for him to reach the big leagues. Reading this right now off of the MLB Pipeline list and the blurb that's on there about Wonbin Cho, instead of trying to be taken in the 2021 KBO draft back in South Korea, Cho moved to Atlanta a month after his 18th birthday and signed with the Cardinals in January of 2022. They've kind of brought him along slowly, but we saw him a little bit briefly at spring training back in Jupiter this year, and he is currently with High A Peoria after spending 2023 with Palm Beach. Had some solid numbers at Palm Beach. He's still just 20 years old, trying his hand at Peoria at the High A level. Slow start to the season through 15 games, only a 5.99 OPS for Wonbin Cho and an elevated strikeout rate with 22 Ks, but I don't think it's any time to panic just yet on the Wonbin Cho numbers. And in fact, he's been able to turn things around a little bit more recently within the last three games. He's had four total hits and was 2-for-4 in his most recent game with the High A Peoria Chiefs. So something to keep in mind there, but certainly the strikeouts are something you'll want to see addressed for Wonbin Cho. Looks like 12 strikeouts over his past six games. It's been a while since he's had a start where he hasn't struck out. April 13th is the last time that happened. So had a 4-strikeout game recently. For a 20-year-old player, nothing to panic about at this point in time, but an international signing that has the tools if he's able to find a way to put it together. And for the reason of his tools, he's ranked as the number 9 prospect in the organization per MLB Pipeline. Gordon Graceffo is a name you know, AAA pitcher for the Cardinal organization. Had kind of a setback year last year in that he just didn't elevate and burst onto the scene. I think the Cardinals expected coming into 2023 that Graceffo, who I believe was the minor league pitcher of the year in 2022, so they thought maybe he would have a trajectory to burst onto the scene last year. It just never really happened. 4.92 ERA in 86 innings last season. Did not quite average a K per inning in AAA. Had 81 strikeouts in those 86 innings. This year, he's back with Memphis, and it's been more of the same. 4.88 ERA, 24 innings, has allowed quite a few hits, 28, and 10 walks. So the base runners have been plentiful with a 1.58 whip against Gordon Graceffo. Averaging a strikeout per inning, though, and I don't want to read too much into what a guy's performance is at Memphis. As long as he's kind of middle of the pack, which I do consider those numbers for Graceffo to be, because ultimately it is a different game in AAA compared to the big leagues, and that can sometimes actually benefit pitchers to get the jump to MLB because they don't have to worry about the automatic ball strike system. There are elements of the strike zone that certainly do change. Graceffo is a guy that I'm certainly not counting out at this point in time, but you would like to see the raw numbers at Memphis improve, I think, before giving him a real look in St. Louis.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moving along on the top 30 prospect list is another catcher, Leonardo Bernal, who is the listed with a 2026 ETA. He's still in the lower levels of the minors, and so far this year has not produced very much, just a 503 OPS at High A Peoria. And for a catcher, there are some different things that are obviously going to be measured there. He's just 20 years old, does have a 50 out of 80 grade on the hit tool per the scouts, a 50 throwing arm, and a 55 fielding grade. So a catcher that you might describe as defense first. And as he progresses through the system, we'll see how those skills develop. But Leonardo Bernal, at least according to Pipeline, is given quite a bit of credit as the number 7 prospect in the organization. Well, we're getting closer to the end here. And next on our list is number 6 in the organization, Cooper Jerpy, the first round pick of the Cardinals back in 2022. We saw him last year at High A Peoria, and that's exactly where he has been so far this season. And in Peoria last year, had a 3.5 ERA, which he liked, more than a strikeout per inning by a pretty good margin. This year, the same thing is true, 17 Ks in 11 innings, but a 5.5 ERA. The walks are elevated, 7 walks in 11 and a third innings, has also allowed 13 hits and an opposing batting average of .302. So he's got an elevated whip, but you like to see the strikeout numbers continue, and I'll be curious to see how soon Cooper Jerpy gets to AA, but certainly one of those guys, when we talk about the Cardinals needing to develop marquee starting pitchers, I think there is hope within the organization that Cooper Jerpy can be that type of player. Number 5 on the list is an interesting outfield name. It's Chase Davis, who was the first round pick of the Cardinals this past season. He's just 22 years old and is a guy that has the tools, but we're still kind of waiting to see them develop to their full extent at the professional level. Last year, he was with Palm Beach, just getting out of college, and had a .635 OPS in 104 at-bats with Palm Beach. The Cardinals sent him right back there this time around. In the numbers, we are seeing that improvement that you hope to see, a .781 OPS. There has been some power infused into his game over the 14 games that he's played. It's a couple of home runs, 8 RBIs, 7 walks. The concern that does still exist with Chase Davis is the 23 strikeouts, but he's a guy that, if you've been reading different things about him online, has been, I believe, tinkering with his swing from time to time, hoping to maybe find the one that can stick and then allow him to elevate levels throughout the organization. I was excited for the Cardinals when they took Chase Davis with that first-round pick last year, outfielder out of Arizona. He went undrafted out of high school in 2020 during that truncated 5-round MLB draft because of COVID, and really was able to head on out to the Pac-12 and the Arizona Wildcats and burst onto the scene, particularly in his final season. He's shown power. He's got the ability to run, a good throwing arm, just a matter of putting it all together. A very, very nice swing from the left side when he is going right, but low batting average right now. He's a guy who, again, you look at age, he's 22 years old, so you would like to see that production at the lower levels of the minors, but you also have to understand that he is still very, very early in his professional career because he was a 3-year college player. So all of those things do factor in, but Chase Davis, I think, does have the tools. You just want to see the power continue to offset the swing and miss, and that's something you can live with as he continues to develop. Number 4 on the list, and now we're really going to just get into names that I do think y'all are going to know. Thomas Sagacy is up to number 4 on the list. That's another guy when you say, oh, why did the Cardinals do what they did? Why did they trade Jordan Montgomery at the deadline? They should have. I don't know that anybody's really saying that, because it would be silly to do so at this point with knowing what last year's team was, right? It was a lost cause by that point. And now out of that trade deadline, you have Thomas Sagacy, who may be the prize of the deadline. We still have one more name from that trade deadline that we have not named on our top prospect list that ranks a little bit higher than Sagacy does, but he's been very good so far with AAA Memphis this year. .286 batting average, a .363 on base, and a .443 slug. That's an .806 OPS. This is a guy that has some power to his game, couple of home runs, has struck out 19 times in 70 at-bats, but who isn't striking out these days? I think Sagacy's game will play at the big league level. He's got a great hit tool, and I'll be very interested to see whether the Cardinals sort of balance out the notion of, well, we want him to play every day, with there may be an opportunity to have him crack this roster at some point, and what sort of opportunity would they give him if it happened. Over the past week or so, He's been putting together some nice numbers, multiple multi-hit games, several extra base hits versus the JC, a home run, three doubles over the last week or so. Thomas Sejacy, he's number four on this list, and I think for good reason. And the Cardinals could see him sooner rather than later. It's just going to be a matter of that infield's still pretty healthy. And if it ever shouldn't be, Sejacy is probably a guy that the Cardinals are going to have to give a long look to. With an 8.06 OPS in Memphis, it would kind of be difficult not to consider him if there should be a need at any point across that big league infield. Number three is another name that you definitely know. He's not currently with the big league roster, but he was for a while. That's Victor Scott II. Now, Vic is still a top prospect in this organization for great reason. He's 23 years old. We know that in St. Louis so far this season, it hasn't gone well. That's why he was demoted with the 0.85 batting average. I just think it didn't pan out. You know, he's a good player. He's got a good future. The Cardinals brought him along rather quickly. I was in support of it. Obviously, in retrospect, we can look at it and say, well, that probably wasn't the best thing. But I did. I was curious to see what Victor Scott might be able to do after the really strong showing that he had in spring. There were people out there who said, don't elevate him this quickly. I disagreed with those people. I said, give him a shot and let's see what he can make of it. And ultimately, it didn't pan out. And you got to live with those decisions sometimes. And that's where the Cardinals are at this point. Now, with Memphis so far, he's already played three games. Even there has struggled offensively, just 1-for-13. So, Vic, hopefully, will be able to kind of find his equilibrium at some point here offensively and get it going. But certainly a bright future should still be in the cards for Victor Scott II, who is now honing his craft in AAA Memphis. Number two on the list. I said there was one more guy acquired at that deadline last July, and this is him. It is right-handed pitcher Tekoa Roby, who is with the Springfield Cardinals as of this point. Cardinals have elevated him, did so last year, in fact, where he had 12 innings in Springfield, had a 3.00 ERA with 19 strikeouts in those 12 innings. He's right back there in Springfield. The numbers not quite as strong so far as he's been hit around just a bit. 17 hits, has given up 6 home runs in just 3 games, which is certainly an elevated stat, but does have 15 strikeouts. Tekoa Roby, the raw materials are there. He's just got to find a way to hone them. And it says ETA of 2024 here on MLB Pipeline. I don't think that's going to happen, but I wouldn't say it's out of the question. If he could catch fire, he could find his way into the Cardinal rotation sooner rather than later. But keep in mind, he is just at AA Springfield. There are a couple of names like a Sem Robertson who are closer in that Sem is at AAA and has been performing. So if there should be a need arise, yes, it's partially going to depend on the day of the week that it is and who's fresh and healthy to join a rotation. But I'm also looking at Tekoa Roby going, man, if he could just have a good month at some point, the Cardinals, I think, would give him a long look, not only for a promotion to AAA, but maybe at some point later this season, if things go really well, the big leagues. But I think they're also going to think, let's kind of take it slow and make sure that they're not throwing too much too fast at Tekoa Roby, who did come over at that deadline last year. I believe he was part of the Montgomery deal as well. And I can recall when he was acquired, there was a question of, you know, how soon is he going to be available to pitch? And John Mozeliak mentioned having a phone conversation with him, welcoming to the Cardinals. And he said, can I still play catch down here with the team? I'm a throw partner for one of the pitchers down here, and we're just doing some rehab. And I think Mo said, yeah, that's fine. You can play catch. But they hadn't even gotten eyes on him as he was dealing, I think, with a shoulder injury as it was before he came over to St. Louis last season. So did get to pitch in the Arizona Fall League and touched 99 miles per hour out in the Fall League last fall. So he's a very interesting guy that has a lot of upside. Hopefully for his and the Cardinals' sake, he can hone that upside and find his way to progress through the system sooner rather than later. But Tekoa Roby, very highly thought of within the organization and around baseball. He is the number two Cardinal prospect, according to this MLB pipeline list. And number one is a name that you know. It's Tink Hentz, who is off to a really good start to this 2024 season. He was a 2020 draft pick. We knew, and I think we realized, with the Cardinals taking him out of high school, kind of a slim kid, not a lot of muscle on him when the Cardinals drafted him. He's continued to bulk up. But I think we knew the Cardinals were going to have to take it slow with him after they added him in the, I believe he was one of the competitive balance picks, 63rd overall in that 2020 MLB draft. Knew they'd have to take it slow with him. Finally, now we're seeing him progress up to Springfield. He got some opportunity there last season. Didn't go super well, but had 54 of his innings from 2023 thrown at AA with a 5.47 ERA. Averaged about a K per inning. So far this year, he's back in AA and looking much better. 18 and two-thirds innings, 21 strikeouts in that frame, and a 2.41 ERA across four starts. Has done a nice job of limiting walks, just four in 18 and two-thirds innings. Has allowed 11 hits, an opposing batting average of 162. For Tink Hentz this year, the name of the game is innings, innings, innings. The Cardinals should want to see him get at least up and over 100 innings and then maybe push for 110, 120. Because again, if you think Tink Hentz has the talent to join this rotation as early in St. Louis as 2025, that's all well and good. The innings load is something that you're going to have to figure out, because we've seen it with teams like the Miami Marlins. They have all of these young pitching prospects that are so exciting, but they continue to get to the big league level. And then they say, oh, we're going to send this guy down in order to sort of manage his innings. And you have what happened with Yuri Perez happen, where the guy has Tommy John anyway. And now they're trying to do the same thing with Max Meyer after he was injured, came back, and now they're sending him back down to AAA. The Miami Marlins are, partially probably because they're tanking, but partially, they say, to keep him healthy. I'm just not entirely sure that makes sense. You might be wasting some of the prime years of this pitcher. I think the Cardinals with Tink Hentz need to let him pitch. Hopefully there are no injuries. You always kind of knock on wood against the potential of arm injuries for pitchers. But in the case of Tink Hentz, I think the Cardinals just need to let him pitch. And John Mozeliak said on opening day in St. Louis that 100 innings would certainly be an expectation for him, and I'd like to see him maybe get even more than that. But the 2.41 ERA, averaging more than a strikeout per inning, it's hard to argue with what Tink Hentz has done so far for AA Springfield. And he is the Cardinals' top prospect as of right now, according to MLB Pipeline. Well, that is going to do it for our Top Prospects edition as we check in on the Cardinals' top 30 per MLB Pipeline. You can go ahead and Google that list and check out any of the names that we just talked about. But I think several standouts, certainly, from the early going. Tink Hentz obviously stands out. Quinn Matthews is another arm that does so. And how about Sim Robersa at AAA? Could be the next Cardinal pitcher that we see elevated if a starter should be necessary anytime in the near future. So I think most of the names that we're excited about from that top 30, at least in terms of present performance, are pitchers, which may not be the worst thing in the world for where the Cardinals are at. Let me know what you guys thought of the top prospect list and who you're excited to see potentially make it to St. Louis someday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button in the lower right-hand corner of your screen if you enjoy Cardinals content all season long. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. Appreciate you guys for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time on Be Shafe Daily. Peace.